I know we're used to that tune without necessarily those words, but what great words to sing of the deep love of Jesus to that beautiful, beautiful song this morning. And what a joy to do that along with you today. We're calling this message The Excellent Way, and for those who have heard before, we're continuing a little miniature study through the book of 1 Corinthians. It's just the way the readings have laid out. I kind of wish that the folks in their wisdom, when they sat wherever it is they sat back in the 1960s and created this three-year lectionary, would have said, hey, why don't we put the love chapter on the weekend closest to Valentine's? But we just get an extra bonus of having the focus on love here before Valentine's. Maybe it'll actually make your Valentine's more special than it's ever been before. Who can be sure? Well, we're going to hope for that. We're going to ask God for the blessing of that. And we're going to dig in a little bit here and ask ourselves, what does love look like? And we can hear it read to us. We can get nice greeting cards. Maybe love to some might look like a meal out to a restaurant, you know, but or a sparkly piece of jewelry. I don't know what comes to mind for you, but those things may be symbols of love, but I don't think they are love itself. I think love is Shannon coming and lighting the candles for us every Sunday. I think love is you walking in the door every Sunday and caring about him and caring about all of one another. I think love looks in a lot of different ways, but in the scripture today, when we hear how love gets described in the epistle reading in 1 Corinthians 13, we can just hear these words, and they can kind of go in one ear and out the other. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, does not boast. There are eight of them that are positive. You know, it's patient and kind. There are eight of them that are negative. It does not boast and, you know, is not proud and all those kinds of things. So we can just kind of hear that and go, nice. That's like, how many Super Bowls has Tom Brady won? Okay, it's kind of at about the same level. We can all hope that he won't win anymore, right? But we can, never mind. I'm not even going down that train. Houston's going to get there. They will. They will. But more importantly, will we be champions in love, in showing what love looks like? Here's a way I want to ask you to consider making it very personal, and I will do this on myself, but I invite you to do what I'm about to do to yourself as well. Okay. Take out the word love in 1 Corinthians 13 when you look at your Bible. And put your name in its place. It's kind of a test, right? I didn't put all of them on here. I don't have the whole chapter. I just decided to do two or three on each side instead of all eight on each side of the positives and the negative ones. But Jerry is patient. My family would go, not. Jerry is kind. Sometimes. Jerry always trusts. Except when he wants to make a backup plan to his backup plan to his backup plan. Jerry is not proud. Jerry does not insist on his own way. I'm actually starting to make some progress in that. We had to do a sewer repair at my house yesterday, and I let my son take the lead in digging the ditch. And so... He did it, you know, his way. You know, just a quick thought about this, right? Aristotle told us how to live, right? He said, to be is to do. And Plato said, to do is to be. And of course, you all know what the prophet Frank Sinatra said. Do be, do be, do. Actually, I think Frank Sinatra really said, I did it my way, right? And so love doesn't do that. And yet, so many times, don't I, don't you, don't we do that? And love keeps no record of wrongs. There's an old proverb that says, you know, when you want to forgive someone, you need to bury the hatchet and you need to forget where you buried the hatchet. And we don't always do that. There are times, I may not remember the exact words someone said, but I can remember exactly how I felt when they said them. And we may hold on to that feeling a very, very long time. Put your name in there. Ask yourself, are you patient? Are you kind? Do you not envy? Do you not boast? You are not arrogant, not rude. You don't insist on your own way. You're not irritable or resentful. And tell me if you did that whole list of all the 16 characteristics of love, if you wouldn't be cringing at the end. Maybe even consider saying it to yourself in the mirror and see how much you could really psych yourself out. I don't think you can. Because all of us know we fall short of that standard of love. And if we are supposed to, because we bear the name of Jesus, right, baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if we are supposed to be little Christs, which is the meaning of the word Christian, little Christians, if that's who we are supposed to be, then we are supposed to be bearers that show this world what his love looks like. And this is a really big deal. In the first reading that we had today, the one from Revelation, this is a really big deal because, you know, when you hear that list, when I remember looking at this, studying this, kind of going over this, and I want to read it to you again because it's been a little while since you heard it. Jesus is speaking to his church. And he says, I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, how you cannot bear with those who are evil, how you test those who call themselves apostles, how you have endured patiently and you bear up, and he's referring to, you know, suffering and persecution, how you bear up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. You know, I got to be honest with you, that's a pretty good list. If that was on my resume, you know, if whenever my time ends at Gethsemane, you know, whatever God has in mind, right, in 2 weeks or in 20 decades, whatever it is, I wouldn't mind having that be my legacy. Hear those things again. Your work, your toil, your patient endurance, you bore with people, you tested out and didn't let, you know, false things into the church to harm it. You endured patiently, you bared up for my name, you did not grow weary. Those are fantastic things. And then Jesus says this, you got all that on the plus side, church, but you got this one thing I am holding against you. You forgot about your first love. Do you know that it's possible to be volunteer of the year in a church and have not love? Do you know it's possible to be the first one in the door, the one that flips on the lights, the thermostats, does everything? You are the chief cook and bottle washer, and it is possible to be a volunteer taking on one job, one office, unless the Constitution prohibits this, for decades upon decades. But if you don't have love, you're like my noisy cymbal. And I think what Jesus is trying to tell us is that we can be doing lots and lots of good things, have lots of good intentions, be going about lots of caring aspects and enduring and patient and doing good works. But do we still think of him? And we walk around and we drive around and we shop around and we talk around to neighbors and coworkers in a way that God is our first love. He is the one we most want to share. It's his kindness we most want to demonstrate and express. It is his love that motivates us. This year, one of my New Year's resolutions, one of my challenges, I shared this with you earlier, is bless and do not curse. And I didn't go into a whole lot of details about that, but it mainly manifests itself in traffic situations. And instead of, you know, having a label as the lesser prophet George Carlin described, people that drive faster than you with a certain word, and people that drive slower than you with a certain word, instead of having those labels and literally by putting label on someone, cursing them, God has been nudging me to say, what if you said a prayer for them? What if you said a prayer for, Lord, keep safe the people that are in front of that person that's going 25 miles an hour above the speed limit right now, and if you'd have enough mercy, keep safe that person too, that they'd wise up and not drive quite so fast, quite so unsafe. Lord, protect that person that's driving slow and distracted right now. They're on their phone. They probably shouldn't be, but maybe they're talking to a loved one that's in the hospital in the emergency room. I have no idea, but put a bubble of protection around them and keep them safe, and then eventually help them get tuned back in where they need to be. Wouldn't that be a totally different way to drive? I'll tell you, it's helping me a lot. I think my blood pressure's gone down about 10 points since January. I'm going to keep it up. Because that's a loving way to drive. And there is a loving way to interact with our spouse, and there is a loving way to live out with neighbors and coworkers and friends and our children and adult children, grandchildren and all. There is a loving way to do this when we remember him first. when we remember our Savior first. And I go back to that same question that I asked you before. I want to ask it again. What does love look like? And I want to suggest to you that when I'm talking about us loving and blessing other people, it isn't just somehow I squeeze really hard and I find it inside. I find it, you find it, all of us in the church find it. The more we gaze upon, the more we listen to, the more we trust in, the more that we worship Jesus. Jesus, the one who healed Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus, the one who drove out demons. Jesus, the one who was willing to be emptied so you and I could be full. Jesus, the one who was willing to let his blood be shed so that we could be washed clean, whiter than snow, whiter than any bleach on this earth could ever bleach out any clothing. That he could look at you and say, I remember your sins no more. And you who have not been patient, who have not been kind, who have forsaken and forgotten your first love, you I still love and I still die for. Love looks an awful lot like Jesus because God is love. Scripture tells us that. And the more you and I let his love soak in, let our pride go down and realize how much we need him, let our boastfulness go down and realize that let he or she who boasts, boast in the Lord. The more that we do that, the more that not only does the love of Jesus change us, but it changes us to be more loving like Jesus. Let me see if we can get this to work. We want to try to show you a little short 1 minute YouTube video that kind of gets at this idea. What does love look like? What could it look like in us? Let's try out and see if this'll work. See, personally, that's why I watch the Super Bowl, because those are the kind of ads they show. That was 2015 Super Bowl, which now I forget where it was held. It doesn't even matter. The commercial is what really matters more than anything. The concept, the world is so full of hate, and if anything, hasn't it gotten more full of hate since 2015? Feels like it. And a little spill of Coke goes out through the transmission lines. Can I suggest we change that from Coke to what is the real, real thing? Which is the love of God. What love looks like is what Jesus in you, when he is your first love, when you are so realizing he loves you exactly the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He loves you just as you are, and he longs for you to be completely soaked in that love and changed by that love, and then live out and share that love. And when we transmit it out in our workplaces, at the bus stop, when we transmit it out into our homes, into our emails, to our loved ones and friends, love starts to look an awful lot like Jesus in you, the encourager, Jesus in you, the forgiver, Jesus in you, the cheerer on, Jesus in you, the prayer, Jesus in you, the presence right alongside somebody saying, we've got this, we'll get through this. I think that's a lot of what love looks like. And when you and I do that, we're an unstoppable force. That's how he described the church, remember? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church when Jesus is our first love and we are living that love out to others. May he move us to do it.